the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, welcome back to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity. This is episode number 238. Today we're going to be talking about how to find that sweet spot during contact, why it matters, what it's going to do for your game, a couple of different tips and different changes that you can make that's going to help you hit that sweet spot more often. But before we do, I want to recap a couple of things. Mike, Crystal Springs.
Yep.
That was a blast, right?
Awesome time.
Got away. Had a lot of fun, man. That was a lot of fun. It was good to incorporate the families. You know, we both brought our wives, our kids along, got to show them a little bit of like what we do when we go away and play golf. We brought the girls out to play a little bit of, they had a fun little night putting course. That was a blast. I had a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, no, it was a really cool time. I mean, big thanks to those guys for bringing us in there, putting us up on that course. We were able to fly the drone out there. And let me tell you something, we captured some awesome footage. I can't wait for you guys to see this. Now, this video will probably be out by the time this episode is out.
Yep, check the YouTube channel for that.
Check the YouTube channel. You're not going to want to miss this because we went nuts with the drone on this one.
Yeah, we had fun. And you're right. Yep. The conditions were perfect. Up there in the mountains.
And golf boards, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. You know, the scenes, the fairways. I love the layouts of those courses. Mm-hmm. We got to, you know, highlight some of our favorite. There's six courses on location.
Yeah, there's there. Six. I played six. Five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got to highlight some of the favorites from around there. So that one was really great. Speaking of YouTube, there's still time to get into our 5K subscriber giveaway. Not a lot of time, just a couple days left for that. We're giving away that $250 gift card shopping spree. Then we've also got the Titleist TS driver giveaway, which our buddy Kevin Sprecher, who did our fitting, was kind enough to throw in a free fitting too for that. So again, a little bit more time, but not a whole lot. So make sure you check out the YouTube channel. You see both videos there. All those will have the information on how to get involved in that. And speaking of giveaways, we've also got the Facebook podcast.
That's right.
Group. Yeah, that video, the twirl one. We're having a lot of
submissions coming
with.
In.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. People are having fun. They're getting creative with the videos. So really great stuff there. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. We've got so many giveaways going.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I want to talk in a minute about, you know, the big news everybody in the world's talking about, Tiger's win, the Ryder Cup, one of my favorite weeks of the year. I love, you know, team competition golf, especially the Ryder Cup. It's just, there's so many aspects of what I love about golf all wrapped up into these one thing. But before we talk about that, let's talk about one more giveaway. We're stacked right now.
Giveaways. It's great. It's so great.
You guys have heard us talking about the Shot Scope. We've been using it. We're going to be doing a video actually this Friday where we're going to be doing a little bit more intensive testing with the Shot Scope. I know you'll probably be using it a little bit when you play Ferry Point as well. Another great track that you're going to be playing soon. Right. And here's the good news. We're going to be giving one away. So if you guys haven't heard us talk about it yet, the Shot Scope, the V2, it's the only GPS watch on the market that combines GPS distances to greens and hazards with that automatic stat tracking that we all love so much. Essentially, it's a GPS plus an automatic performance tracking all in one watch. You wear the V2 just like a watch. You play your golf game like normal. The magic's happening in the background. You don't need your phone mic. There's nothing to interact with. It's just doing it, just taking care of its business. And then I love how, you know, that performance is being tracked and you get tons of different stats. They've got these really fun new like awards and medals and things like that you can win in the app. So it makes it fun. So we're going to be giving one away. The details are going to be in the video. If you don't win one, here's a really good, cool part about it. Right now, Golf Podcast listeners can get $40 off of ShotScope by just going to shotscope.com/golficity or go to shotscope.com, use that coupon code golficity. So Mike, you want to talk a little bit about, speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about our stats. I love diving into them.
The stats segment. I want like a little jingle. Segment. I want a jingle with this, you know?
We need that.
We need too. A good jingle. You know,
maybe one of our listeners can put one together for us.
Yes, send us a jingle. You know, throw it in the Facebook group. I'd love to see that. But you know what? Let's go to the Sleepy Hollow round, since that's actually the last full round we've played together. And click that approach tab, the proximity of the whole scatter plot that hits you right in a way, right when you land on that page is pretty eye opening. But take a look at the good old fashioned greens in regulation per breakdown. You know, I love, this is cool because I love how quick, you know, it's calculated percentage of how successful that I'm in, that I am with hitting the greens in regulation, but this is per club. Mm-hmm. So according to this dashboard, Frank, I'm lights out with my 60 degree, and I should be. I mean, it's nothing to brag about. I usually hit that right around the greens. I better get on the green. But the cool stat was I was 100% accurate in that round with my pitching wedge, and that's my 145-ish club.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a pretty for us, for our handicap level, it's tough to, you know, hit the green and hold that 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see the clubs that I'm performing well with. And then, of course, on the other side of that, I'm seeing the ones that I'm not hitting the greens with. And that kind of brings us back to that whole what we need to go back yes. and practice. Practice, right? Focus on what's not working, right?
That's right. And that's exactly what I was going to say too, is I'm looking at my scatter plot here and you realize that, yeah, it's really great to look back and kind of pat yourself on the back because it's a confidence builder for some of the great shots. But I think diving into the really bad ones, as though sometimes you don't want to look at it, that's what can kind of teach us of things that we need to work on. And what I like is when you click the shot, there's that little like, it's a little like pin drop thing that you can click on and it will take you right to the shot overlaid on the map. So I can kind of see where I was and I can go back and run through because, you know, when we play a lot of golf, sometimes it's hard to remember every single shot. So this just takes you right back to that shot. I can see it. I can see where I was. I can get a feel for what kind of went wrong and I can dive into it a little bit deeper. And then if I start to see a trend, that's what I'm going after. You know, we've talked a lot about on the podcast about looking for those trends and then going after that low hanging fruit. Sometimes we just kind of like blankly go out there and just practice. But I think that focus practice, especially if you're busy, that's important. So if you can find a trend, if you can see like going right, you know, back to that approach, I see this like weird little gap here where I'm hitting a lot more, greens with, let's say like my 8 iron, but you know, it's my performance with my 9 and 7 are not as good. So it shows I've got a lot of consistency with that 8. I've got whatever. So maybe I've got to work on those distances a little bit more. So maybe next time I'm at the range, I'll pick a, you know, 8 iron for me is a 150. That's a target everybody kind of warms up on and goes after. Maybe I got to go after that 165 target a little bit more and work on my 7 iron. So that's what I like. I like looking for the bad stuff, you know.
Stats are crucial. We talk about it all the time. I mean, using the shot scope more and more, I love having the stats because of this reason.
There's no going back once you have them.
Right.
Because you feel like you're flying blind at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely.
So really important stuff there. And it's just good to have. And anytime you can have that, and especially when you don't have to do it. I mean, we used to talk about keeping your stats on the scorecard. If you go way back, some of our early episodes, we were doing that, you know, checking fairways and regulation greens, which is just very basic stats, but it was still good to have.
Basic.
Yep. Now it's nice to be able to concentrate on golf and having it just done for you, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So really great stuff, guys. Check them out. Go to shotscope.com/golficity to find out more about that. Before we dive into, you know, this instruction topic that I want to handle today with the sweet spot, I want to get your take on it. What were you getting chills when you saw Tiger on Sunday, man?
Yeah. So we departed from Crystal Springs and we went our separate ways. It was kind of like family night Sunday, getting back into the gear for the week. Yep. I needed to go grocery shopping. You know, I had to do all that stuff. Right. But I wasn't going anywhere, you know, so I got home.
You can't leave that television, man.
I can't. I mean, I missed the first like 8 holes Sunday, you know, cause we were out there having a blast. But we were able to like catch it on some of the TVs of the bars and places that we were going to, which was great. But to sit and came home, sat on the couch, and I just watched those last 4 or 5 holes. I was rooting against Justin Rose to not make that birdie because I thought, what an epic story to see him. Not because I knew he had it for like 6 holes, but just to see him grab the FedEx, you know, comeback season, you win the FedEx Cup. Come on.
But the truth is, it's so hard to root against Rosie. You know, that guy.
It is. It really is.
You know, top to bottom, he's a great dude. So I'm glad to see him. You know, he grinded it out throughout the season. He earned that. But to see what Tiger did and then just seeing the crowds walking up 18 with him. I thought it was a classy move to see like Rory kind of, you see him just kind of run out of the way to give Tiger his moment. But then you just kind of think about the gravity of that. And like, here's a guy like Rory who most likely grew up, you know, watching Tiger. And then he had a lot of times where he was compared to Tiger in a lot of ways. And all of a sudden to come up and then how to have Tiger like overshadowing you in that moment and just like showing his, he can still be so competitive.
Yes.
Was tremendous. And my daughter, she's only 4 years old. The other one's one. She would never be able to pay attention to it. But I'm like, she's still barely like, you know, into like watch, like she won't sit and watch golf. She'll watch a little bit and she thinks everybody's Ricky, you know, But I'm like trying to grab her attention and I'm like, listen, like watch what's happening. Like, cause you're going to be able to like, she'll never remember it. I hope she does. But I'm like, you'll be able to say to like your kid someday, you saw this, you saw Tiger's like 80th win. Like this is history we're watching here. So that was just something.
And I think it's going to continue. I think he's only going to get stronger and better. I'm excited for next year, man. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people are, you know, especially Masters ratings changing already as far as the odds. It's going to be fun.
And look, his win, it's not like his win came at like the Safeway Open, you know?
Right.
Come on.
Top 30 players.
This is East Lake, the best players, you know, every, the guys who made it that point. He made it to that point. You know what I mean? He didn't get an exemption to get to that, to, you know. It's just like, it just shows like he can compete at that highest level. So I think it's going to erase all the doubts of whether he can win a major. I think his name is going to be legitimately in the mix for every single one of them.
For sure.
And I'm just interested to see. And I think it's going to elevate everything. Speaking of the Ryder Cup, I think it's going to elevate everything. I mean, talk about the momentum that gives the U.S. team going in. Mm-hmm. But I think we're in for a treat, man, with this Ryder Cup.
I'm
looking through like on Instagram and like the squad pictures for both sides. I mean, the European team is stacked. The U.S. team is stacked. I'm like, I can't wait to see the matchups. Who's it going to be? This one's going to be something else.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. I'll be watching it at Ferry Point with a couple of guys over there that I've met through, you know, the whole social media game here. And I'm looking forward to watching it over there. And then right after that, Frank, I'm going out to play and film that round. So
that is a cool little tournament, a little watch party and then followed
by. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'll tell you, there's one thing. I mean, I want to see what you hope to see most out of it. But one thing that I hope to see, I would love to see a Reed McIlroy rematch. Because that was some of the most entertaining golf I've ever seen when they were going back and forth. And I think that's when like that competitiveness of these guys shine. They were just, it was just elevating each other, you know, elevating each other to that next level. And then even like, you could tell like they were having like kind of like ribbing each other and like the shush and the pointing at each other and stuff like that. Yep. But then they're just realizing what they were both accomplishing was so epic. Then they're giving each other pounds and stuff like that. So it's a friendly, like stepped up rivalry, man. That is some cool stuff.
Yeah. And if you think that's going to be good, just wait till you see Phil versus Tiger and those guys are mic'd up for 18 holes. That's going to be funny.
Because Phil is hilarious. I'm just so glad he joined Twitter because I'm getting a kick out of everything he puts out there.
He's a riot.
He's got to be a little bit nervous with the way Tiger's playing right now.
Oh, yeah. He even you know, said it in the press conference.
Didn't he say, like, Tiger's got to give him strokes
now? He's got to give him a stroke aside.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But, so that's going to be big. A little bit tough with the time change, you know, because it's going to be in Paris this year. So, I mean,
it's probably gonna be on
early morning for us. It's going to be a couple of breakfasts watching the Ryder Cup, but I'm just psyched. It's good stuff.
Dude, I cannot wait at all. But listen, let's jump because if we keep talking about this, we're never going to finish this.
Oh, episode. I can talk about the Ryder Cup all night.
Oh, I know. And I know that's where it's going because I was just about to talk about Bryson and I had some other things on my mind, but we're not going to go that route. So before we go any further, Frank, as always, we are proud to have Titleist as the key sponsor to the Golf Podcast. We finally received our TS drivers in the mail today. I'm excited, Frank. We will be playing a full round with our very own TS drivers this Friday at the round we were just talking about. I know you couldn't be, you know, more happy, right?
Oh, dude, ready? If you're watching this on YouTube, here she is.
Yes.
Boom. This thing is something else.
The head cup is cool.
I love it. and we talked about it in the fitting, how, you know, I gained 12 miles an hour ball speed and over 20 yards in total distance. It's like Christmas morning right now.
Yeah, I can see this sucker.
And I'm glad I got it. You know, it came so quick before the end of the season, can get a little bit more time in with it. But I really like it. I like how much noise Titleist is making with the new TS line. This is something that I actually was reading somewhere in the comments that somebody made a really strong point. And then I looked back through it and he's like, you know, I don't think I've heard someone have anything negative to say about this driver anywhere. You know, and right. You start to look around, like some of the reviews Rick Shields did on YouTube. You've got, you know, My Golf Spy, all these guys, and it's coming out to rave reviews. So I love the fact that, you know, Titleist R&D team, they were able to go in and come out with a driver that really competes on that distance level, brings all of that great, you know, Titleist quality that we all love, but then now you got that Titleist speed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's great is that, you know, you can all easily get fit for the TS line of drivers and fairway metals at golf shops, courses, anywhere nationwide. I mean, they are available, and believe us, they are worth trying. You probably saw the video already. So as always, you can read more on the TS line. Just go to Titleist.com, and you can even schedule a fitting right near you. Just check their website to find a Titleist fitter closest to you right there on the website. There it is. It's so pretty.
There she is.
I love it, man.
Great stuff. All right, Mike, before we dive into the instruction topic, I want to talk really quick about Tommy John. These guys are a revolutionary clothing brand that's redefined comfort for men and women everywhere. Their clothing is made with a wide range of fabrics. They're luxuriously soft. They're feather light, moisture wicking, breathable. They're really designed to move with you, not against you. I'm loving them.
Yeah, and that's why I'm wearing mine 27 days straight. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I am joking. But this is actually must be why Golf Digest actually rated Tommy John as the best underwear in golf. And that's for 2 years in a row. So listen, try Tommy John's 360 sport fabric for the course, you know, anywhere in the gym, just in life. Their best-selling second skin for the 19th hole.
That's again, my personal favorite.
It's good. I'm wearing it right now. It's amazing. Remember, all of Tommy John's underwear is backed by, I love this, the best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. So that should tell you it all right there. That includes the new life-changing women's underwear. All right, guys, so listen to this. This just sold out in 6 weeks, but that's back. So keep the ladies in mind. But hurry to TommyJohn.com/golf for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/golf for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/golf.
All right, guys, we're talking sweet spot today. I think if you've ever, like, you know, made that solid contact with the sweet spot, you know it in an instant. It's not one of those things that needs to be described to you. You know, it could be their first time you pick up a club and you hit it. And if you just happen to hit it just right, you just feel it. You know, it just feels good. It pops right off the club. And you just know it. Like some people, you may call it crisp. You may call it whatever it may is, but that's that feeling when you hit that sweet spot. And the reality is, every club does have a sweet spot. So like we go under, what does that exactly mean? Like most people think, oh, it's probably like the center of the club. It's not always necessarily exact center. It really depends on where the center of gravity is. That's another story for another day we could go on and on about. But traditionally it's in the middle of the club face, usually just a little bit below the actual center. But what the sweet spot is, it's based on, you know, the design of the club, the way the weighting is. It's the spot that it's going to transfer the most energy from the club to the ball. Because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to, we talk about swing speed, club head speed, that's generating energy, but then you need to then transfer that energy to the ball. I mean, ultimately it comes down to simple physics, right? So if you can make contact with the spot that is going to transfer the most energy to the ball, that's when you're going to end up with the most distance. So remember, that sweet spot, it's going to vary from club to club based on design, which is, it's why it's important to really take some time, get to know your clubs. If you've got new clubs, there's that always, we talked about this before, Mike, the transition period.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little bit of a transition. You got to get a little bit used to it. Usually irons will have a little bit lower sweet spot than drivers, but again, it's going to depend. We see a lot of these, what we call the low CG, the lower center of gravity mm-hmm. drivers. We're seeing a lot more of those. Often there's a little bit of a science that goes into it, like where you tee the ball based on where that is for the driver. So there's a lot to kind of like that feel and get used to. And I can't speak about it too broadly because there is some slight variations in different clubs. But I think the more important thing to understand here is that every club has a sweet spot. And if you can make contact with it, you're going to transfer more energy more efficiently. We see this a lot with club fitters. They talk about the efficiency of that transfer. And that comes down to very often the, you know, shaft changes.
Right.
That's the real thing that was so eye-opening to you and I when we went through our fittings, is how much of the fitting it has to do with shaft. So very often they'll change that, and that'll help you with get it hitting that sweet spot a little bit more often. So it's important. It matters. It's something that, you know, obviously intuitively you would imagine hitting the sweet spot is going to be important, but there's a couple of very significant advantages that come with hitting the sweet spot. The first, of course, is distance. So again, you get that great transfer of energy between the club and the ball. That's what's going to maximize that distance with a perfect strike. Mm-hmm. You know it when you hit it off the toe, off the heel, right? You feel it. You see it in the lost distance. You're going to lose some of that efficiency. The ball speed is going to go down. The shot's not going to fly as far. But it's not all about transferring that energy and getting the most bang for your buck. You know, the reality is it's going to be harder to hit your targets if you miss the sweet spot. And I know that may, you know, sound like common sense, but it's worth noting. And you all know that. I mean, if you hit it off the heel or the toe, chances are you didn't hit your target. And that you know, that club face, it's going to twist, you know, when you don't strike the ball the way you want to. So that will end up causing like the pushed right, pushed left, some really ugly outcomes. So it's really key to hit that sweet spot. I mean, I don't think I need to sell it any more than that, right?
No, it makes sense. I mean, and what you said before about getting fit so that you are, you know, have the right distance, you know, shaft from your body to the ball and where you're swinging. But like, for me, this is kind of an interesting subject because I'm working through it very, very well, by the way, of breaking out of this outside in golf swing. Mm-hmm. And what blows my mind is a lot of times I'll hit the ball and I'll put so much spin from that outside in that I'll end up far right off the fairway. I'll look down at the club head and that ball's dead square in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, so I hit the sweet spot, but my swing didn't go with it. So it didn't match. And so it was a bad shot. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm dealing with right now.
You but
know,
that's, that is true. Is there, mm-hmm. You can hit dead center, but still come across the ball and put that right. spin on the, you know, side spin. That's right. Why I like, you know, spending some time in the simulator, especially with the TrackMan, because that is going to tell you very granularly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's not all about if you hit the sweet spot, that's like the secret sauce and everything's going to be right. I mean, that's a good point you point out because you can hit it, but if you're not coming
swinging right, yep.
Right, you can have that problem. But, you know, addressing kind of one issue at a time, which is like what we kind of like to do on the podcast is break down one different topic each time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you combine it with, let's say you were coming across the ball like that, but also not hitting the sweet spot, you know, that's going to compound the issue even worse.
Right.
Right.
So, right. That makes sense. I mean, do you suggest that we determine if we're hitting the sweet spot with a swing tape or a, you know, athlete's foot spray that people are using?
Hey, that's like the cheap way to do it. Yeah. You put,
it is,
put
it works
little
well.
Bit of spray on there on the driving range and hit and just kind of see where you're hitting. It's actually, sometimes you can just see it if it's a dark enough face. I showed that to Kevin during our fitting. I was telling him a lot of my drives were just out a little bit towards the toe outside of the sweet spot. And you could actually see it. You could see the little indent of the, you know, not, or the little marking with the ball. And, we were able to bring that back and dial it in actually with a little bit of a shaft change. So there's, mm-hmm. there's a certain aspect of it that the equipment comes into play too. And that's why a good fitting comes into play. But yeah, sure. I think it's good to assess, but I think you're also going to feel it. You're going to know when you're hitting that sweet spot and when you're not, because you just feel that, you can feel that energy transfer. Mm-hmm. It's like in baseball, same type of thing. When you don't hit it just right and you feel that like vibration in your hands, you know, because you've just kind of glanced it rather than, you know, you make that perfect sweet spot contact. And if anybody who plays baseball will get that analogy too, because sometimes you feel like you don't even swing as hard, but you hit it just right in the sweet spot of the bat and the ball just takes off.
Yeah.
You know, almost yep. what you're doing, they talk about like if it's a really fast pitch, you're just retransferring that energy back out.
Right.
So same mm-hmm. type of thing here. That's where sometimes where we feel like we're swinging slower, but the ball is going further, especially with a driver. The reality is often we're swinging much more controlled, which is allowing us to hit the sweet spot, which is allowing us to transfer that energy more efficiently. And now all of a sudden the ball goes further, but you don't feel like you're swinging out of your shoes.
Right.
You know, where other times you may have a ridiculously fast swing and generating a ton of power, but you're not transferring all of it because you're missing the sweet spot.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it leads to the next question. People are going to say, well, all right, how do you do it? How do you?
Right.
So there's a lot
teach
that goes
us, Frank,
into it.
Teach us.
Hey, I'm learning it myself. I'll tell you what. But in diving into it and diving into the research a little bit, we're like, all right, how can we kind of simplify this? There's three key points that we've identified, and I've been trying to focus on all of these. And I think the first one is something that you've been really focusing on big time ever since.
Sprech effect.
Yeah, exactly. ever since we worked with Kevin Sprecher in our playing lesson and we played so well, we're joking between us. We're calling it the Sprech effect. Because he really fixed rotation. Quite a lot. Yeah, balance plus rotation. So there's a couple keys that you can work on in practice. There's three specifically that if you can focus on these, you're going to end up hitting that sweet spot a lot more often. The first one is balance. And I can't emphasize this enough. We've talked about it on the podcast so many times, but the more I learn this game, the more I play this game, the more I realize balance really is the key. Because in order to make a good, efficient swing, you have to be balanced. And the challenges that happen, you know, that sounds, you know, simple enough when you're hitting off a mat, you know, in the driving range. But the challenges that happen is when you start having those different lies.
Yes.
Uphill, mm-hmm. downhill, side hill, whatever it may be. And now as you're standing, like envision yourself standing on a downhill lie, now your balance and your weight is all going forward. And that's something that Kevin taught us, was that he's like, you just lean back a little bit. No matter where you were, the first step he had us do was get our balance and then make our swing.
Yeah.
And so many times that slips our mind. We don't think about it. And he's like, you can't make a good rotation. It's balance and rotation. You can't make a good rotation if you're falling forward or falling backward. And then what happens is sweet spots, not just with a driver, you could be hitting a 7-iron from a downhill lie, you know, or whatever in the middle of the fairway. You're going to hit it in off the, you know, the heel or something like that if you're falling forward.
Yes. And case in point, the Sleepy Hollow playing lesson vlog that just came to our YouTube channel, I had one lie on, you know, the upslope of a fairway bunker. Mm-hmm. And Kevin came over and he was saying, listen, the only way you're going to get this up and out or even close to the green is if, you know, you stay balanced. And I just normally I'd be leaning forward because I was, you know, down, the ball was way below my feet, but I stayed balanced and you'll see it in there. I put the thing to like 10 feet,
yep.
You know, and it was impressive and I was super excited. And like, let me tell you something. Those two tips, money right there, balance and rotation. So this is number one for sure for me.
That's it. And that's why we see better golfers obsessing so much over lies. You see mm-hmm. some of your newer golfers who don't spend as much time with the lie, but largely the reason why a better golfer is going to really assess that lie is because what they're also assessing is how they're going to be able to put a balanced swing on it.
Right.
Not just how's it going to come out, how deep is the grass, whatever, but they're thinking where their stance is. How can I put a good stance on this ball?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot that goes into it. So if you can really focus on that balance and work on it, work on making sure, even if you just put it as part of your pre-shot routine of just saying, you know, mental check, am I balanced? Where's my center of gravity? Where's my balance? Am I falling forward? Am I falling right, left, back? And then just make those adjustments to balance yourself as much as possible. Then you're going to be able to put a better swing. And with a balanced swing, you're going to hit that sweet spot a lot more often.
Yeah, it's working for me.
So that's a good one. Another good one is controlling your eyes. You know, we hear the old adage, you know, lifting your head, you know, looking up, whatever it may be. But the reality is you really want to keep your eyes even more important than your head, because don't forget, in a good golf swing, your head is going to rotate. You're never going to have your head perfectly still. It would actually look hilarious if your head was perfectly still and you swung all the way through to a follow through, you know, so there's going to be some movement, but if your eyes stay on that ball, and it doesn't take much for your eyes to come off of it for you to miss that sweet spot. Don't forget, the sweet spot is actually a very small target. And the ball in general, you know, when you look at all of sports, like the golf ball in general is a fairly small target to hit, especially mm-hmm. swinging as hard as we are. And it doesn't take much to hit just a little bit too high on the ball to scull it, you know, or just come ground a little bit too far down and just catch a little bit of that ground first and lose that swing speed. It doesn't take much. And I noticed this with myself, especially when it's a shot that has some sort of like a mental hurdle for myself. Like for instance, there's a water that I have to hit over, and it just that subconscious, like half a millisecond where you look, you know, your eyes lift up a little bit sooner to see if you're going to like clear the water, that you end up just like topping it. So if you
can second hole,
yeah, you, second hole. Exactly.
Yeah. For you.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. You got to like, as much as you can, just try to remember, looking up early, it's a common mistake, but if you work on focusing on keeping your eyes on a specific spot of the golf ball, I like kind of focusing on, me personally, I like to focus on the back of the golf ball, just kind of lock in there. You'd be able to hit that sweet spot a lot more often. And that's common sense. Think about it. It's hard to hit a target you're not looking at.
Right.
So if you're looking at it, you're able to deliver that club face to that spot of the ball a little bit easier.
So. Yeah, man. I mean, I think my ball striking has improved so much better, by the way, with these new clubs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something I forgot to mention to you recently when I saw you, but you know, the way that I'm coming through the ball now, I'm actually striking the ball much cleaner.
Yep.
And I think I'm hitting the sweet spot more. I mean, you saw some of my approach shots hitting the green at Cascades. I just feel like I'm striking it so much better. So for me, I feel like this sweet spot thing has, you know, I've determined that I'm hitting the sweet spot of my club. If I could just focus on fixing my swing plane, like I just talked about, mm-hmm. then, I mean, I could probably shave those few strokes to get me to that 79, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's coming together.
And a huge part of that is, like I said, this is your first set of fitted clubs. So that fitting, well, so there's always going to be, as with anything, there's going to be that walking that line between your performance and what, you know, you're doing, and then also matching up with the right clubs, you know, what your equipment does. So this is a nice mix of those two.
Right.
The third tip we have is something that I'm working on a lot, especially with driver, is that swinging through all the way to the finish. Don't forget, golf swing, it's not completed the moment you strike the ball. Sure. After you strike the ball, there's nothing you can do to get that shot back once it leaves, but you still need to swing through to a complete, and here's the key again, balanced finish. You find that you're off balance in your follow through, that's an indication that something is going wrong there. So don't give up on your shot right after making contact. Because what's going to happen is you'll actually change the way you swing down to the ball. You got to commit yourself fully to the swing, swing into through that finish, get, you know, you'll find it's much easier to find that center of the club. And that's exactly the thing I'm struggling with. Because I have the least confidence in my driver, that's where I don't commit to that swing. And that's one thing that Kevin was showing me. My actual, where I was coming hard over the, I thought I was coming over the top because my miss is a bad hook left, right? My regular shot shape is a draw. My miss is a hook left. And he said, it's a misconception. You're not coming over the top. What's happening is your left arm, your lead arm is kind of hesitating and slowing down. And the only thing that, because your right arm's coming through really fast, the only thing your right arm can do at that point when it catches up to the left is whip over and turn over like this. And then all of a sudden that happens. So I noticed that when I do that, my follow through is abbreviated. I don't finish with the club as high. So that day when we were playing Sleepy Hollow, I was hitting the ball really well. And as I would hit the ball better and better off the tee, I gained more and more confidence and I just started letting it fly. And by letting it fly, I was effectively committing myself to that full swing and just finishing. And then the result was a much better strike, more distance, hitting more fairways. So I try to get out there and just let it fly. I was struggling with it again when we went back to play Cascades over the weekend because I let that get in my head of seeing those much tighter fairways and trouble left and right on a lot of these holes. And I was starting to I was losing that commitment to the swing. And by losing that, I wasn't hitting the ball as well off the tee. So it's just like commit and let it fly.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is the finish is kind of like the canary in the coal mine. You know, it'll tell you a lot about your swing. It'll tell you if something's going wrong, if that finish doesn't end up right.
There's a phrase that doesn't get enough play, by the way.
I like that phrase. I think I'm the one keeping it alive. I seem to say that a lot.
You need to use that more often.
Canary in a coal mine.
Yeah. Write that one down. I got to think you're going to be, walking up to the first tee with a little more confidence on Friday with this new driver. I'm excited for you because the first hole, Frank, is a nice straight out par 5. Very wide. You're going to take that bad boy out and we're going to go to town.
Right, how's right the course in general? Is it wide open? A lot of trouble? What are we looking at?
You got your mix. I mean, the trees that are lining the fairway aren't necessarily thin. So if you do hit into them, you will have to punch out.
Is it like Ridgewood tree lined?
It's not like Ridgewood tree line. This course is much easier than Ridgewood as far as the tree line, the tree trouble.
Okay.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. The ones at Ridgewood were very thin and tall. These are shorter trees with more branches. So if you hit into them, it's going to knock it straight down.
Right.
But you're not dealing with that type of rough.
But Ridgewood had a lot of the trees just off the fairway. They were like right there.
They were. They had that Tillinghast design where they kind of just line the fairway. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is not like that. But we're going to get the bird up in the air too, and we're going to take a look at this one from the sky, because this is a pretty little layout. There's the 10th hole is that part. Remember I went live?
Yes.
When I played it last.
Yes.
And I everyone's like, go for it. And I hit it. And I think I three putted it for par. It was horrible. Live.
Well, you bet you're going to be going for it again when we're out there.
Yeah, man. I can't wait.
Okay. So those three things, if you focus on those three things, you're going to end up, you know, being able to hit that sweet spot a lot more often, focusing on balance, control your eyes, swing through the finish. The other thing that's really important to highlight here is the value of repetition. You know, golf, obviously, it's a hard game. As with anything in life that presents a challenge, practice is the key to your improvement. The story, you know, is the same here with regards to hitting that sweet spot. If you can get out there and hit plenty of practice balls between your rounds of golf, it'll go a long way towards improving your skill in that area. It really helps with that hand-eye coordination. I mean, think about it, anything you've done, any sport you've played, learning to catch a ball, learning whatever it may be, it's that repetition that created that hand-eye coordination that makes it happen. And yeah. And it's true. I mean, I've noticed it. The more I'm away from the game, the harder it becomes to do simple, you know, areas of it, simple things that I could normally do when I'm playing a lot. Likewise, I end up hitting more errant shots when I'm away from the game. You know, life gets busy. We've got, you know, each have our kids. We've got the business, we've got things like that that we're doing. And sometimes we don't get to play as much, or sometimes we get a little bit longer winter, you know, we're not out there on the course as much. And then as that goes away, I lose a little bit of that hand-eye coordination. It takes time to get back. So you can kind of expedite this process of hitting the sweet spot more if you can get out there and just hit more balls and not mindlessly. Don't forget, like we always talk about in your practice sessions, pick your targets when you're out on the range, do those type of things, simulate pressure, do the different things that you need to do so that you can translate that game from the driving range to the course. And you're not just a driving range hero, you know?
Yep.
But if you're able to do that and putting that work in, you'll find that it becomes easier and easier to hit that sweet spot on the reg, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. It's all good stuff, man.
And listen, no matter how much time you put in, no matter how much you work on this, don't hinder yourself with an impossible standard. You're going to set yourself up for disappointment if you think you're going to hit that sweet spot each and every time. Even the top PGA Tour pros don't. So there's going to be errant shots. What we're saying is that by going through these things, you can have that less often. You can hit the sweet spot more often. So you just got to get out there, strive to hit as many sweet spot shots as you can. But remember, there's going to be some that just don't come off as planned. And, you know, it's that thrill of when you do it and you see that ball just kind of sail into the air and you just feel it. It feels so effortless and so good. You know, it's addicting. But, you know, just kind of embrace it when it happens, and when it doesn't, learn from it, work on it, change what you need to change to have it happen more often.
Yeah, man. Dude, let's go low Friday.
Let's go low.
Let's do it. Let's take these tips. Let's take the new drivers. Got the shot scopes.
Where you're at right now, man, you're knocking on that door. A couple of 81s. Stuff like that. I mean,
a couple 81s within a 3-week period. I am so close to writing 70-something on a golf ball like you did.
Yeah. And I need to have that happen again. It's been, I think, two long seasons since I broke 80.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're knocking, man.
Yeah, we got to have it happen. And, you know, this is right now, it's all that kind of like bonus golf. You know, it's getting in fall. It's getting dark out there early. It's getting cool, which I always like this time of year. It's always fun, but you just feel like that looming coming where these golf courses close and stuff like that. But we'll get in there. We'll get the rounds in. Make sure you guys are following along by subscribing to the YouTube channel. Check out the Facebook group. As we always say, it's 100% free. And it's a really great place to carry that conversation on after the show. In between these weekly shows, we've got everybody in the group is chatting about what's going on with their own games, posting pictures, some of the great places they've played. A lot of guys, really exciting equipment stuff going on. Guys getting new clubs, whatever it may be, making changes, doing things like that. And we've got the kind of fun side things we're doing, like this club Club Twirl Challenge that we're doing right now. So make sure you join the group. Check out the Golficity app by going to golficity.com/app. It's free to download for iOS and Android, and you'll get every podcast there all the way back to number one. Like I said, completely free. Plus you get alerts when a new podcast or a new video drops. So it's a great way to stay in touch with all that. So thank you for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Make sure you click that subscribe button, and we'll see everybody again next week.